This is John Walden. I'd like you to join me in the study of the 25th Psalm. I know you know the 23rd Psalm very well, but you should know the 25th too. Very wonderful Psalm of confidence in God and of learning His ways. This is a Psalm of David, and he begins by saying, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." O Lord is O Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the Redeemer God. David knew the Lord as his Savior, and he felt his need for the Lord. He lifted up his soul to the Lord. I may be talking to someone just now who feels no need for the Lord at all. You feel you're on top of the world, you think you can make it by yourself. Let me tell you, the time is coming when you'll need Him, and you'll need Him badly. And my advice is to you, turn to the Lord now. Lift up your soul to Him now. Learn to know Him as your own God. David called Him, "O my God." I have been able to call the Lord Jesus my Savior ever since the year 1911, when I took Him for my own. This is the only way that you can call the Lord Jesus your own. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now David expresses his confidence in God by saying, "I trust in Thee." First of all, we learn to trust Him as our Savior, and then we learn to trust Him with our lives. This will result in confidence in God, in contrast to those who transgress against Him, who will be ashamed in the end of verse 3. If you do not trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you go on and sin against Him, you will have everlasting shame and contempt. Now verses 4 and 5 introduce one of the main topics of Psalm 25, the matter of knowing the way of the Lord. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth, and teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. And again at verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And again at verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. Now there are two things that we need to learn. First of all, we need to learn God's way of salvation. Our Savior Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. The Lord Jesus is the only way of salvation. But you not only need to know God's way of salvation through His Son, not through the church, not through ordinances, not through your good works, through Christ. Salvation is in the person of Christ. But you also need to know the way of obedience. Now He says that He will teach sinners in the way, and God is very ready to save anyone who really wants His salvation. But He is just as willing to guide us in His ways after we receive Christ. And He does this, according to verse 5, through His truth, that is, the Word of God. Guidance for a believer comes, first of all, through the Word of God. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, I know the Bible condemns this, but the Lord led me to do such and such." No, He didn't. The Lord never is inconsistent. He never leads anyone contrary to His Word. And if you are doing something which is in direct disobedience to the Word of God, the Lord did not lead you to do it. That's the first test, then. Find out what the Word of God teaches. The second thing, when you get into the presence of God in prayer, you will find that the Lord will bring to your mind, lay upon your heart certain things, and you will begin to see reasons why you should go this way instead of that way. The Lord will show you these things. I'm not talking about a feeling now. I'm talking about the conviction of the Spirit of God when we come to the Lord in prayer. And then the third thing, and this would be unsafe by itself, but the Lord often uses this, the circumstances of our lives. Sometimes the Lord uses circumstances to test us to see if we're willing to obey Him, even if it does mean difficulty. And other times He uses certain circumstances to lead us to see that He would have us do this or He wants us to do that. Now, if you're a real believer, you should be just as willing to do this as that. And that's what he's talking about in verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Meekness, that is, a willingness for the Lord to tell us what to do, a willingness to submit our will to his will result in his choosing the way for us. That's the promise in the end of verse 12. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The Lord would like to choose your way for you. When our children are small, we are glad to make the choices for them, and we try to show them as they get a little older why we're making these choices and teach them how to make right choices. And so God would like to have you so trusting, so putting your confidence in Him, that you will be perfectly willing for Him to choose for you. If you're a young person, the Lord would like to choose as to what school you attend when you get out of high school, when you go to college, or even whether you go to college or not. He would like to choose for you. He would like to choose for you who you shall marry. He'll do better for you than you can do for yourself, let me tell you. He'd like to choose for you where you work, what kind of profession you enter, what kind of business you go into, or whether he wants you to go to some place to carry the gospel, to enter into Christian service of some type. The Lord will lead you where you're to live. All of these things ought to be completely in the hands of God. And if you're meek, you'll find the Lord is very willing and glad to lead you. Now another problem, another subject of this psalm, is the problem of sin. Verse 6 says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions." And again he says at verse 11, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." And the 16th verse says, "Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses." He evidently was distressed about his sin, because he says, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." Am I talking to someone now who feels the load of sin? Well, perhaps you've never come to the Lord for the initial cleansing forgiveness. The Lord would like to forgive your sins. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. And that's the reason he'd like to forgive you, for Christ's sake, for what the Lord Jesus has done. Our Savior took your place. He paid your debt. That's why God can rightfully forgive your sins. But this problem continues even after we are believers, because the first chapter of 1 John tells us that if we Christians say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You're not fooling your family, you're not fooling your neighbors, but you're fooling yourself if you think that you don't have any sin. We ought to be honest and confess these sins. If we confess our sins, we Christians confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Lord would like to cleanse believers from our sins. A great deal is said in Psalm 25 about confidence in God, which is to be based on, first of all, His Word. Confidence in a person, of course, would mean nothing unless that person made some promises or made some statements. And the Lord has made some wonderful statements in His Word, and we should have confidence in Him because of His promises. We should have confidence in Him because of His character. God is the kind of a person who couldn't deceive us, and of course wouldn't. We ought to have confidence in Him because of His past mercies. God, who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So we can expect God to bless us because He has done so much for us already. Our confidence in God, of course, is based upon the sufficient sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. God loved us. He gave His Son to die for us. And now on the basis of what Christ has done, God is able to bless us, and He promises in this psalm that He will do it. And David shows that he has confidence in God. Now your confidence in God will grow with your knowledge of God. The better acquainted you get with the Lord and with His Word, the more confidence you'll have in Him. This psalm closes with a prayer that God would redeem Israel out of all his troubles. Now, God redeemed Israel in the 12th of Exodus by the blood of the Lamb. And then He sent His Son to Calvary's cross to redeem Israel as well as the Gentiles. So the basis of redemption is sacrifice. Now, the Lord wants to not only save your life from destruction, but He wants to deliver you from all troubles. Why don't you trust Him and find out what He can do for you? Our Father, we thank Thee for our Savior. We thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for this lovely psalm, and ask Thee to bless it to saved and unsaved alike, for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.